Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, Adventure. A little later on, we'll hear Escape from 1950, but right now, a popular juvenile series. In its time, The Adventures of Sky King. This from 1947, December 4th, to be exact, on ABC. The episode called A Message in Code.
The makers of Peter Pan Peanut Butter present The Adventures of Sky King. Sky King and A Message in Code.
But nobody knew that I bought the necklace from you, Mr. Channing. Nobody knew that I had it but you and I. Nobody in the world.
Well then, my dear Miss Ogden, it shouldn't be very difficult to come to some conclusion about who stole it, should it?
Well, I'm afraid I don't understand.
Oh, it's really quite simple. If you and I were the only two who knew you had that pearl necklace, then conclusively, it must have been one of us who stole it. Obviously, it wasn't you.
You mean you? You mean you stole it?
Of course I stole it, Miss Ogden.
Is this some joke, Mr. Channing?
I never joke, my dear child. I stole your necklace. I sold it to you yesterday morning and stole it back from you last night. Or rather, to be exact, I had it stolen from you.
And you admit it? Oh, is it preposterous? It's outrageous.
Yes, isn't it?
I'm going to have you arrested. I'll have the police here in 10 minutes.
A perfectly natural procedure, my dear. However, I think it's only fair to tell you that I shall deny every word that I've told you. I shall tell the police that you are, if you pardon the expression, talking to your very pretty hat.
All right, deny it. Go ahead. But I'll tell them that you stole it.
Your word against mine, my dear Miss Ogden. Seldom accepted as proof in a court of law.
But I'll prove that you stole it.
How, my dear? Did you see me take it? Have you any witnesses? You think I'm stupid enough to have the necklace here in my possession? No, dear lady. I am very positive that you won't be able to prove it.
It was this scene which started the march of events that brought Sky King into another of his adventures in the cause of justice. We find him now in San Francisco's Chinatown, walking along Bush Street with Penny, Clipper, and Martha Bell. They're on their way to call upon an old friend of Sky's, Mr. Wong Yuen.
I like this Chinatown, Sky. It's different.
Kind of Chinese looking.
Smart today, aren't you, young man?
Oh, just the same as usual, Martha. No difference, no change. Same old genius.
Exactly the way I feel about it myself, Martha.
Oh, wait, turn here, kid. We're looking for number 36, genius.
That's a 3 followed by a 6 in case you're doubtful, genius.
Okay, have your fun.
Sky. Do you think this Mr. Wong, this man we're going to see, will know about that Channing fella?
Oh, he'll know about him, Martha. But whether he knows what we want to find out is something else again.
Sky?
Huh?
How long have you known Mr. Wong?
Well, gosh, you've got me there, Penny. 8 or 10 years, I guess.
Oh,
you met him when you were in the FBI, didn't you?
Yeah, Clipper. We worked on a case together. Oh, there's his place.
Where?
That one at the yellow door.
Have you ever been in his house, Sky?
Just once, honey.
Well, what do? Knock with that do-willy hanging on the door, or do we ring the bell?
Well, let's just try it the easy way, huh?
Yes, Steve?
Don't you do things like that to me, young man. Well, you scared me out of 7 years' growth.
So sorry. But light come on inside when you stop in front of doorway.
You mean you don't have to ring the bell? You don't have to knock? For heaven's sake, what won't they think of next?
You wish for something, please?
Is Mr. Wong at home?
May I ask who is inquiring, please?
My name is King. Skyler King from the Flying Crown Ranch. I'm an old friend of Mr. Wong's.
Well, please to come in.
Thank you.
You were pleased to follow me.
Yes.
Gosh, look at all this stuff.
All this stuff, dear. It's Chinese art.
All right.
You were kindly to seat yourselves, gentlemen and ladies. I go to acquaint Mr. Wong of your presence.
Seat ourselves? On what? Those cushions on the floorboard?
Well, you can squat down that low, can't you, Martha? With help.
I can squat down as low as I've a mind to, Clipper King, without any help from anybody. But maybe I couldn't get up here.
Maybe I couldn't too, Martha. So perhaps we'd both better stand up.
Yeah.
Hey, this sure is a beautiful room, isn't it, Sky?
Yeah, certainly is, Benny.
Boy, that carved green is just lovely. And that little green vase.
Mary Bell's got a vase just like that, just like it. Sailor friend of hers brought it back to her from China. You know what she told me it cost? $19. $19. I don't believe it, do you, Sky? A little thing like that, $19.
I don't know about Mary Bell's vase, Martha, but... that little vase you're looking at is worth several hundred dollars.
It's mean, isn't it, Sky?
I think it is.
Hey.
Oh, what's with that? Dinner already? God, that wall. It's sliding back.
Okay, don't let it get you, Martha.
But there's nothing back of it. It's just black, just dark.
Keep your shirt on. It won't be dark long. There. Oh, it's all lighted up for you. And here comes Wong Yuan.
Hey, this I like. Ring a gong, the wall slides back. Ring another one, lights come on. That's the stuff for the flying crown ring.
Ah, Skylar King, my old friend.
The Yuan.
It is with great pleasure that my ancient eyes feast upon you once again.
Well, thanks. I'm certainly glad to see you too, Mr. Wong. It's been a long time.
Far too long, Skylar. But what brings you to my humble dwelling? I hope it is only the desire to renew our friendship. However, I fear that is not the case.
Well, I'm sorry to say you're right, Mr. Wong. We need your help. But first, I'd like to have you meet my friend and housekeeper, Mrs. Martha Bell.
Oh, I am indeed honored, Mrs. Bell.
Me too.
And my niece and nephew, Penny and Clover King.
Hello, Mr. Wong.
How are you doing? I am overcome with pleasure. Welcome, all of you, to my small house.
Thank you, Wong.
Tell me, Skylar, what is it you wish of Wong Yuan? Command, and it is yours, old friend.
We want some information, Mr. Wong. Some information about a man named James Kirk Channing.
James Kirk Channing? Ah, yes, that is he who owns a jewelry establishment on Montgomery Street.
That's right. What do you know about him, Mr. Wong?
My friend, I know a great deal about Mr. Channing. Will you have your answer in many sentences, or will you have it in one word?
Well, one word will do, Mr. Wong, and coming from you, I know it'll be the right one.
My ancient ears ring with your flattery, Skylar, but the sound of their ringing is pleasant. Here is your one word, old friend.
Thief. And a slick one, huh, Mr. Wong?
One of extreme slickness, young sir. Are you having dealings with Mr. Channing, Skylar?
We're hoping to have dealings with him, Mr. Wong. My cousin, Marjorie Ogden, who lives here in San Francisco, bought a very valuable pearl necklace from Channing last week. 12 hours after she'd locked it in the wall safe in her home, it was gone.
It is your idea that this Mr. Channing stole it,
Skylar? He admitted it, Mr. Wong. Marjorie told him about the theft, and he made no bones about it.
Your Annabelle's cousin has, of course, gone to the police?
Yes, of course. But Channing denied it. He even hinted that my cousin was trying to blackmail him.
He knew about him.
He stole Marjorie's bill of sale, too, Mr. Wong. But she doesn't even have any proof that she bought the necklace from him.
He is a sinful one, my friend. For many years, I have heard reports of his evil ways. Now, of course, you wish the necklace back. And if I know you, Skylar, you wish also to place Mr. Channing behind the bars in prison.
That's it, Mr. Wong. Can you help us?
Perhaps I can, Skylar King. Perhaps. Yes, perhaps I can help you. But this ancient and worn body of mine rebels now at such movements, so I must ask you to go without me to a countryman of mine, to a man who calls himself Hoi Sam.
It's a little later now. Guy King and our friends have gone from the luxurious home of Wong Yuan. They found their way through dark, narrow, twisting alleys, past huddled, mysterious doorways. They've walked under swinging paper lanterns, beneath slim character signs that hang from low buildings like climbing spiders. And now, This minute, they're seated in the Chinese shop of another Chinese, of a man who calls himself Hoi Sam.
Yes, me savvy. Hoi Sam, he carry one piece of pearl, gone chopped up.
Can you tell us who has the necklace, Hoi Sam?
Hoi Sam, not know yet. No, sir, no, sir. But, never saw he find out plenty quick.
Well, how quick, Hoi Sam?
The day, do you think?
Very quick, missy. Hoi Sam, he know how find out. Smart fellow, Hoi Sam. Very smart. He has questions. From just along here to just along there. Bye bye. Never saw find answer.
Will you let us know when you find the answer, Hoi Sam?
You come back 5 o'clock. You savvy 5 o'clock? Tell Aunt Church go bong, bong, bong. Bong, bong. You savvy?
Yeah, we catch on, Hoi Sam.
Sure.
We'll be back here at 5 o'clock.
You come then, catch him, cook. Catch him one pinky pearl. You shoot clock or send jail house?
We'll send him to jail, Hoi Sam.
Oh, well, okay. Hoi Sam like another fashion, but okay. You come back 5 o'clock. Goodbye.
The church bell going bong, 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 bong. 5 o'clock. You savvy?
We catch him cooked now, huh? We catch him one sleepy fellow.
Hoi Sam is a nice fella.
Who said he wasn't?
Then don't go making fun of him.
I doubt very much if either one of you can speak Chinese anywhere nearly as well as Hoi Sam speaks English. And it's a very nice thing to make fun of anybody. Lots of very good people can't speak English. Remember that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sky.
So am I. We were just...
He hasn't got any lights on.
Oh. Well, perhaps he's in the back room. I'll knock.
Do you think he's found out about the pearls, Sky?
I hope so, honey. If he hasn't, I'm afraid we're going to have a lot of trouble.
Knock again, Sky. Maybe he didn't hear you.
Okay.
I bet he hasn't come back yet. Hey, the door seems to be unlocked, Sky. Couldn't we go on in and leave?
I don't know why not. After you, Martha. Kids?
Yeah.
See if you can find a light switch, Clipper.
Okay. Yeah, here's one.
Oh, he certainly keeps his shop nice and fit. Sky, look, look.
Hey, it's Hoi Sam.
He's in shock.
Shock?
Good heavens. Is he dead, Sky?
I don't know, but I'll have a look at him.
Oh, poor fella.
Poor fella.
Is he Sky? Is he dead?
I'm afraid he is, Clipper. You'll have to call the police right away. Wonder if there's a phone in the shop.
Oh, I'll look in the back room, Sky. There isn't one in here.
Sky, maybe he knew something about the pearls in the shop because of what he found out.
That's a pretty good guess, Penny. And it's probably the right one.
You mean it's that Channing fellow shot him?
Oh, I doubt that, Martha. Probably somebody mixed up with Channing. From what we learned about that man this afternoon after we left Hoi Sam, there seems to be no question about him being the head of a pretty well-organized gang.
No telephone back there either, Sky. But look what I found on the floor.
That piece of paper? Anything written on it, fella?
Well, there's the name of a steamship on the top of the paper. The SS Cartagena.
It's a letterhead, Sky.
Yes. What else is on there, Clipper?
Some letters and figures. It's a code, I guess, or a cipher. Here, take a look.
Yeah. Yeah, looks like a cipher to me, too. R1, K2, P2, K6, P2, K3.
Well, gosh, what's it mean?
You got me.
Well, do you think it's a code message left for us by Hoi Sam?
Oh, I don't think so, Clipper. I doubt if poor old Hoi Sam could write.
Then, gosh, maybe it was dropped here by the guy who shot Hoi Sam.
That may be nearer the answer, Clipper.
Well, but what's it mean? R1, K2, P2, K6. Golly, it's over my head.
The police may be able to decode it. We'd better take it to them.
Could I see that for a minute, Sky?
Huh? Well, sure, Martha, here.
Oh, you don't think you can figure it out, do you, Martha? Sky can.
No, Clipper.
I thought this is what it was when you were reading it.
What was, Martha? What is it?
It's just what I thought it was. That's what it is. This isn't anything but some knitting instructions.
Knitting instructions?
That's what I said, young man. Knitting instructions.
Are you sure, Martha?
Of course I'm sure.
R1 means row one. K2 means knit two. P2, purl two. K6, knit six. P2, purl two. K to E, knit to N. That's all there's to it, Skye. It's somebody's knitting instructions.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, but Skye, what would Hoy Sam be doing with knitting instructions?
Well, he wouldn't be doing anything with them, honey, I don't think. But the person who shot Hoy Sam may have got that piece of paper.
A woman.
Maybe. Anyway, that's who we're going to look for. First, we report this murder to the police. And then we'll try and find a ship. A steamship named the Cartagena.
I hope the Cartagena got that wire and has held up sailing.
So do I, Sergeant.
This sounds like nothing but a wild goose chase to me, Mr. King. Even if it was a woman who shot Hoy Sam, and even if she's aboard the Cartagena, how the deuce are you going to recognize her?
I'm not going to recognize her, Sergeant. Martha Bell's going to point her out to us.
How, for Pete's sake? Are you still figuring on that knitting for a clue?
Oh, why not?
Because knitting is knitting, that's why not, Mr. King. There may be 20 women in the Cartagena, all with knitting in their cabins or in those handbags they carry around. You expect me to arrest the whole bunch of them?
You won't have to arrest only one of them, because I'll know that knitting stitch when I see it. Are you trying to tell me that I won't?
Not me, Mrs. Bell, not me. I'm not trying to tell any women anything. I'm a married man.
There's the Cartagena, Sergeant. Off the port.
There's a light on the stern, and you can read the name.
Head her over there, Joe. I'll have the captain call all the passengers into the main lounge, Mr. King, and we'll make a search of the cabin. If we don't find that knitting in any of them, then we'll search the passengers. Now, when I was beefing back there, I should have known that when a woman says she knows something, she knows it. Yes, sir, I should have known. Like I said, I'm married. There was nothing in all the cabins Joe and I searched, Mr. King. No knitting of any kind.
I found two knitting bags, Skye, but Martha said it wasn't the right stitch.
Nothing, Skye, and we've searched every single cabin.
Then we'll have a crack at the passengers. Come on, Mr. King, into the lounge.
All right, folks. Let me have your attention, please. Thank you. I'm Sergeant Kennedy of the San Francisco Harbor Patrol. We're looking for a murderer. We have reason to believe that he or she is aboard this ship. We think we'll be able to identify the person we're looking for by something in his or her possession. So, I'm going to ask all of you to step up to this table. The gentlemen, I'm going to ask to turn out their pockets. The ladies, to permit us to examine their handbags. Now, just 1 minute, please. Just 1 minute. You may refuse to allow this if you care to. That's your legal right. But those of you who do refuse will be taken ashore on a John Doe or Jane Doe warrant and formally searched in the police station. All right. Now line up, please, in a single file and walk up to this table. And ladies, don't forget your handbag.
I guess that's that, Mr. King. Not one of them refused, and we didn't find it.
Well, we've made a wrong guess, Sergeant. There's nothing we can do now but go back ashore. Sorry to have put you to so much trouble.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. King. Forget it. You had a good idea. It just didn't pan out.
Come on, kids. Martha, let's get on deck and into our boat.
Okay. Well, I thought for sure we had the right person when that red-headed woman had a bag full of knitting.
Are you sure none of her stuff had the right stitch, Martha?
So you're going to question me now, are you?
Well,
of course I'm sure. I've been knitting for 20 years.
Excuse me, please.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Yeah, of course, madam. Flipper, stay out of the way. Let the lady get past in her wheelchair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
May I be of help to you, ma'am?
No, thank you. I can manage all right.
Let's get moving. We can't do any more.
Skye, that old lady.
What about her, Martha?
Listen, she had some in her lap, and it was the right stitch.
What?
And if anybody asked
Nobody's
me, I'm
going
to
doubt you, Mrs. Bell. Anyway, not me. But that old lady in a wheelchair, she couldn't kill anybody.
Well, maybe it was her husband or somebody who had those knitting instructions in his pocket.
And dropped them in Hoy Sam.
You might be right about that, kid. Yeah, you might be right. Come on, Mr. King. Let's ask the old gal a few questions.
Oh, 1 second, Sergeant.
Yeah.
Before we talk to her, why don't we have a look in her cabin?
We've searched the cabin, Mr. King.
For knitting, Sergeant. Let's have a look this time for a pearl necklace. Martha, you Penny and Flipper, keep your eyes on that old woman.
You bet, Scott.
Yeah.
Come on, Sergeant.
All right, Percival, tell us which cabin is hers.
Me, I hate people who say, "I told you so, Miss King." I'm afraid I'm going to have to say it. There's nothing here, nothing. And no more places where a necklace could be hidden.
Yeah, I think you're right, Sergeant. We looked every place.
Every place except for most obvious.
What are you getting at? What's so obvious?
This umbrella, Sergeant.
What?
I've stumbled over this thing four times, but wait just a minute. There you are, Sergeant. There's our pearls.
By golly, King. By gosh. And look at them, why they're...
Don't move, gentlemen. Stay right where you are.
It's seconds later now. A little old woman has wheeled a chair into the cabin, and the gun in her hand is still pointing at Sky King and the sergeant.
How dare you break into my cabin? How dare you?
I'm a police officer, madam. Sergeant Kennedy.
A likely story. You're a thief, that's what you are. You're both thieves. Trying to hold up an old lady, trying to steal my pearls. Put them down.
Now look, madam.
Put them down or I'll fire.
Toss them to her, Sergeant. I think the lady would rather have them in her hand.
Yeah, good idea, King. Here, lady. Catch.
Now I'll take that gun, madam. Like this.
Nice work, King. Nice work. Now, suppose you answer a few questions, madam.
I'm sick. I'm an old lady. Go away and leave me alone.
You're not too sick to answer a few questions. Who dropped that piece of paper with the knitting instructions in Hoy Sam's place this afternoon?
I don't know what you're talking about. Go away, both of you.
Do you know a man named James Kirk Channing?
I tell you, I'm sick. Go away, please. Go away.
There's been a murder committed, madam. A man was shot this afternoon, and a piece of paper
was... You think I did it? You think I could shoot a man?
A couple of minutes ago, you looked as if you could, madam.
I wouldn't have shot you. I was frightened when I saw you in my cabin. I'm sick, I tell you, and I don't know anything about murder.
How about those pearls, madam? Where did you get them?
They belong to me. They're mine. Please go away. Can't you see I'm just an old woman? An old, old...
Guy, that... Oh, there you are. It got away from us. That's no woman, child.
Why, to say she isn't.
Of course she ain't a woman. That and this, no woman would ever do a botched-up job like that. And it's wearing a wig. Wait, I'll show you.
Get your hands off of me.
Why, you fool me, will you? There, what did I tell you? No man can fool a woman.
Schaefer, give Schaefer. I should have known your voice. Didn't cover, King. This bird is one of the most infamous jewel thieves in America.
You haven't got me yet, Flipper.
Yes,
Flipper,
sir.
I got him. No, you haven't.
Hang on, Flipper. I'll give you a hand.
Oh, no.
All right. Say, gentle skiff. Unless you want to get hurt.
I'll take him, King. I'll just snap these cuffs on him. Okay, Giff. Now you look more natural.
You haven't got anything on me. Nothing.
I think different, Schaefer. Anyway, I'm taking you in. And I'm booking you on a charge of smuggling for James Kirk Channing and of suspected murder.
They're all arrested, Marjorie. Every one of them.
Yeah. And from what that Giff Schaefer told the police, I don't think Mr. James Kirk Channing will be running another jewelry store for a long, long time.
And you caught him, Clipper, that Giff Schaefer. You grabbed him and kept him from getting away.
Oh, I didn't do anything, Marjorie. Martha was the one this deal.
And you're not kidding. I was. But any time a man thinks he can fool a woman, he's got another thing coming. And maybe you'd better remember that, Clipper King.
Oh, I will, Martha.
Well, here's your pearls, Marjorie. And... maybe you'd better lock them up real good this time.
I will, Sky. And thank you. Thanks, all of you. You've been wonderful.
Well, we were lucky, Marjorie. But, you know, maybe good luck always comes to people who are trying to do the right thing. Anyway, that's the way I'm laying my bet.
So, once again, Sky King has won in his constant fight for justice. Next time is Tuesday, when you'll hear the Sky King adventure we call A Cyclone Strikes. You've just heard another thrill-packed adventure of Sky King.
Sky King.
Sky King on Tuned 2 yesterday from December 4th, 1947 on ABC, one of the leaders in after-school kids shows, sharing time with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy, and the Sea Hound. It's an hour of adventure on Tuned 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVunier, and now time for Escape with the story Two Came Back, heard on August 4th, 1950 on CBS.
Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. Escape, brought to you by your Richfield gasoline dealer and the Richfield Oil Corporation of New York.
Escape to the headhunter backcountry on the island of New Guinea, and the story of two men trapped there with a beautiful but treacherous woman. As Jules Archer tells it in, Two Came Back.
Suppose this big guy, 6'5", grabs your hand and says...
You're my pal, Johnny. There's a million-dollar jackpot and I'm cutting you in.
And suppose this blonde number, all curves and green eyes, leans up soft and murmurs...
Johnny, you're bad. Like me. I like you bad. Like me.
And suppose this blonde number, all curves and green eyes, waits until his big back is turned and then leans up again. It can get to be a problem, you know what I mean? A problem. By the time we'd passed over the Golden Gate and were headed out over the Pacific to the west, I could see this business of Gabe and Lily and me was strictly for the squirrels, and I wanted no part of it. There was no backing out now. I'd tried that for a week before takeoff, and it hadn't worked.
Johnny, don't talk crazy. You're my friend, aren't you? Aren't you?
Sure, Gabe. Sure, I'm your friend, but I don't want to go, that's all.
Oh, you gotta go, Johnny. It's $1 million strike, I tell you. Oh, and after what you've done for me, I gotta let you in. I gotta.
You really ought to come, Johnny.
Well, I don't know. But I did know. I knew that $1 million strike or no $1 million strike, this was the time for me, John Walker, to stay home. You see, it was all because this pal, this Gabe, had been my sergeant on New Guinea. We were doing guerrilla mop-up work. Rugged duty, what with the Japs scattered all over thousands of miles of interior and all. When Gabe disappeared, just plain vanished. We all figured the guy had caught one and was dead. The lieutenant reported him missing in action. We forgot about him. Then one morning, about 3 weeks later, he shows. Not a scratch, not a word about where he's been or why or what. Well, they were all for shipping him back to Guam for a desertion trial, but Gabe, being a real rough soldier and all, being the kind of guy we needed bad right then, they decided to chuck the book for the time being and keep him on. It was, like I say, guerrilla mop-up work. And a couple of nights later, we were heading down this trail when a machine gun nest went off right in our faces. We all hit the ground, excepting Gabe. He dropped to one knee and sprayed the trees with his Browning. A big guy, he stood out like a pinwheel on the 4th of July. Yep, Gabe caught one. I saw the BAR fall out of his hands, and down he went. I wriggled through the kunai grass and onto the jungle trail and got him by his collar. Now, why go into it? I was a hero, I guess. I saved his life. And what did it get me?
Baby.
Trouble. It was in the spring of 47 that Gabe's letters finally caught up with me. I was in New York then. He was in Frisco. At first, I thought it was, well, just the old hoorah, but I was his buddy for keeps because I'd saved his life. But one of the letters had a plane ticket and a C note along with a line about, I'm going to let you in on something big if you'll just come out to the coast. So I thought, maybe the guy's got something. I caught the plane, and the next day I found myself walking down this empty street in Frisco with an address in my hand. And a real funny feeling in my head that I ought to turn around and go back home.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Looking for somebody?
Yeah.
Who?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I see I got the wrong address. Hey, that's a real slick house coat you got on.
This? Oh, no, it's just an old thing, you know.
Well, on you, it looks like $1 million.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What address was it you were looking for?
Hmm? Oh, 403.
This is 403.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does Gabor Krilovich live here?
My husband.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Gabe! For you! A man!
Yeah? What does he want?
I can't imagine.
Well, why... Oh, Johnny! Oh, Johnny, boy. So you got here, huh?
Sure.
Oh, gee, my glad to see you.
Gabe, you're looking good.
Hey, so are you. So are you. Look at that guy.
Is this the Johnny you've been talking so much about?
Yeah, Lily, this is Johnny. Johnny, meet Lily. Lily, Johnny. Hey, didn't know I got married, did you, guy?
No, Gabe. No, I didn't know you'd got married.
Yeah. Not a bad little dish for a big slob like me, huh?
Congratulations.
Shall we come in out of this doorway?
Yeah, let's do that. Oh, Johnny, here you guy. You know, Johnny saved my life, honey. Did I tell you?
1,000,000 times.
And that's how I met Lily. Well, that night we sat up talking until the sun came up. I was wondering just what she was trying to pull. Marrying this Bo Hunkus with his big feet and dirty undershirt and all, when he hauled out the little leather bag and dumped the contents all over the table.
Hey, what do you think of this, Johnny?
Gabe, that gold?
That's just samples. Where that came from, there's enough more to make us all millionaires, Johnny.
You're kidding.
No. Hey, remember in New Guinea when I went AWOL?
Yeah.
That was just before Johnny saved my life, honey. Did I ever tell you about Johnny saving my life?
Yeah,
Gabe, about the gold, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, when I went AWOL, I thought I'd just do a little fishing or something. You know, I was kind of tired of the war. You understand?
Yeah, I understand, Gabe.
So I took off into the hills. Oh, Johnny, that is some country. Believe me, wild but pretty, real pretty. And what sunsets? You never saw such sunsets.
Gabe,
huh?
The gold.
Oh, yeah. Well, I seen this quartz stuff up there in the hills, and some of it was glittering. And thought, this is it. I made me a map. When I came back down, I can find it again without any trouble. That is, I mean, we can find it.
You and me?
And Lily, the three of us. Lily wouldn't want to miss all that adventure, would you, baby?
I should say not.
Ain't she cute? Ain't she? You know, every time I look at a Johnny, I wonder... Now, why would a cute little dish like that marry a big slob like me?
Because you're so manly, sweetmeats.
Sweetmeats? Did you hear that, Johnny? Ain't she the limit? Sweetmeats, me!
Well, it didn't take any great genius to figure that she'd smelled money when she married him. It also didn't take any great genius to figure that Lily was going to disrupt some harmony. I've never seen myself as a wife stealer, you know? So by the time that Gabe had bought all the stuff for the trip, I was ready to duck out, money or no. But Gabe wouldn't hear of it. And, well, you know how it is when you put things off. All of a sudden, I wake up to realize that we're flying over the Golden Gate and on out west over the Pacific. And I thought, oh, this is no good. You know something? I was right. San Francisco to Honolulu. From Honolulu to Guam. From Guam to Moresby. And all the time she's leaning up against me with perfume and all, and those big green eyes. Moresby to Salamaua. Salamaua to Wewak. And Gabe has given me the happy stuff about how glad he is his best friend and his wife like each other so much. Then down over the palm groves, the native Lakatois, sago-thatched huts, down, and there we were. New Guinea. Gold. Trouble.
Yeah, going up the Sepik River, eh, mates?
Yeah. Oh, you better give us a couple of pounds of that powdered milk there.
Sepik River. That's a rum country, that. Another patrol officer got done in up there last week. Done in?
Oh, hey, how about some .45 ammunition?
Not sure. Yes, done in. Headhunters.
Gabe, you didn't tell me there were headhunters.
Huh? Oh, don't you worry, honey. You got me and Johnny to look out for you.
Well, it's no bloody business of mine, mate. Here, this the ammo you want?
Yeah, that's it.
No bloody business of mine, but I wouldn't take a woman up into that country. Might make it worse.
Worse? What's worse than getting your head hung up on a pole? Gabe, I want to go home.
Oh, now don't you worry, honey.
Of course, a woman would be a prize up there, lady. I mean, they wouldn't kill her. Odds are they'd make a queen out of her. Wouldn't touch her, just worship her like.
That's good?
Well, that's up to you.
Well, I don't like it.
An hour later, packs bulging with supplies, we were off on the trail that wound up over the Purple Mountains, the Prince Alexander Range, and on toward Mai Mai. Gabe carried the heavy floatboat bag topped with a thick duffel of provisions. I followed, carrying two packs, one on top of the other. Lily brought up the rear, carrying a light pack of clothing, mostly her own. It was rough going that first day. Gabe didn't seem to mind. But me, my feet started to cave in after the first 10 miles. It was all right with me when Lily squawked.
Gabe!
What?
Let's stop.
Well, it's only 3:30, huh?
Let's stop, Gabe!
Another couple of hours, we can be over the first mountain.
Manana, Gabe. My back is breaking.
Okay, honey.
He lowered his big pack and then took off into the jungle.
Hey, where are you going?
We'll need some firewood.
Oh. Oh, Johnny. I'm tired.
Yeah, me too. Oh, it feels good to get those off. Oh, whoever heard of carrying two packs at once?
Good old Gabe.
Yeah.
Come here, Johnny.
What do you want?
I know what you think about me, Johnny. You think I'm bad. It's only because I'm bored. Unhappy and bored. I could be a one-man woman, Johnny.
No. I'm glad to hear about
it. For the right man, Johnny.
Sure.
For you, Johnny.
I don't think Gabe would think it's such a hot idea.
Maybe he wouldn't have to, Johnny.
Meaning?
Maybe after we get the gold, he'll fall off a cliff. Or he gets eaten up by a tiger or stepped on by an elephant.
There's no elephants in New Guinea.
Don't be dull, Johnny.
I gotta be, Lily. I gotta be. You're real poison.
Oh, Johnny.
You're real bad poison.
Mm-hmm. I'm bad. So are you, Johnny.
Yeah. You know, that looks real funny. Lipstick in a jungle.
You think so?
Mm.
Look, looks even funnier on you.
You oughtn't to do that, baby.
Here comes Gabe.
I forgot my gun. Always like to carry a gun in the jungle. Never know when you're gonna run into a snake. Huh, Johnny?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, Gabe.
Yeah. You never, never know.
Well, there it was. A lady wanted me to kill her husband and live a life of pleasure on our ill-gotten gains. Very dramatic situation, except for a minor point. She had figured that I shouldn't kill him until after he'd found the gold mine. And another minor point, being that I was his best friend. But you know how it is. Life. Best friends always kill best friends. Oh, sure. But while this sordid drama unreeled, we had to hike through that lousy jungle. Hike and hike and hike, and my feet were killing me. The sixth day was the worst one of the trip. We were wading through mangrove swamps thick with huge, thirsty leeches. There were giant mosquitoes that swarmed around us in clouds, and every time I slapped one, I killed 10. Oh, sure, we had mosquito lotion. They loved it.
Gabe?
What?
When are we going to get to the river, Gabe?
After a while, honey. After a while.
After a while turned out to be 9 days more. Then we reached the Sepik, a sluggish, muddy river winding like a serpent through huge, green-furred mountain ranges.
And now we ride.
We blew up the collapsible boat, loaded all of our stuff aboard, and shoved off. I took the bow, Gabe the stern. Lily sat amidships on a pile of sacks.
Easy, Gabe, will you? This baby was designed for two people, not three. We're drawing a lot of water.
Don't worry, Johnny. This is flood season. And with flood season, the water's high. We can carry three. But later it won't work. Then it'll be only two.
Yeah, but we'll be back before then.
Sure, Johnny.
From time to time when we camped, Lily would give me the business. She didn't seem to care whether Gabe caught on or not. I cared. I cared a whole lot. And Gabe, I didn't know yet what it was that he was feeling.
You saved my life, Johnny. I owe you a lot.
Maybe that's what it was. But one afternoon, we camped early and went for a swim. I was paddling around. The water felt good. Gabe and Lily got out and were drying off when all of a sudden, I looked up. It was Gabe. He was standing on the bank, not 20 feet away, with his .45 pointed right at me. I dove. I dove as deep as I could. I could still hear him shoot. I stayed down until I thought my lungs were going to pop. I surfaced. Gabe was waving at me and yelling.
Come on, Johnny. Come on.
You're crazy, Gabe. Don't shoot anymore.
I'm not shooting at you. Come on.
So I came out. Then I looked around. And there, a few feet beyond where I'd been, was a tremendous crocodile with blood streaming out of him.
When you dove, I thought sure he had you.
Yeah.
Why'd you dive?
I don't know. I must have lost my head.
Gabe saved your life, Johnny.
Yeah.
I guess that evens us up, huh?
Yeah, I guess so, Gabe.
No, I don't owe you a thing.
That's right.
But you're still my pal, huh, Johnny?
Well, you figure that one. We kept on going until we came to a place where a narrow, rocky tributary came boiling down a big mountain and into the Pacific. This was where we started walking again. The gold was up that fast little creek, and we could never paddle against that current. So we folded the boat, shouldered it and the packs, and started climbing. For a day and a half, we scrambled up that mountain by the fast little stream. Then we came to a wall of gray and white rock. Gabe said,
This is where the gold is. And he was right. Holy schmagoli, that gold. Sure, we had to work to get it out of the rock. Well, in 6 days, we took out nearly $500,000 worth. We could have taken more, but the stuff was heavy, you know. No, you don't know. You've never seen that much pure gold. Well, just take my word for it. 6 days later, we started down the mountain. Then when we made camp by the river that night, Lily waited until Gabe was sound asleep.
Johnny.
Yeah?
Now, Johnny.
Now what?
Now you can kill him.
Oh, go away, will you? I want my sleep.
Do it now, Johnny.
Look, baby, I don't want to kill anybody. I'm a rich man. Will you get smart?
Smart? You get smart, Johnny.
What do you mean by that?
Three ways isn't good enough on the split. I want it two ways.
Oh, nuts.
And if you won't kill him, I'll get him to kill you. After all, Johnny, you're the serpent in our happy marriage.
Shut up, will you, and listen.
I don't hear anything except the water.
Yeah. Well, a minute ago, you couldn't hear that for Gabe snoring. They came in the morning. While we were loading up, they came out of nowhere.
Get down!
What's that?
Arrows! Arrows!
We couldn't see them, but we could tell from the arrows where they were. We laid low and tried to make every shot count. It wasn't long before we saw they really meant business. They weren't going to go away.
Johnny!
Yeah!
We haven't got enough ammunition. They'll last more than 10 minutes at this rate.
Oh, that's just great!
Can you keep them off that long?
Why? Why, what are you going to do?
I'm going to get down to the stream and load up the boat.
You're crazy, Gabe. You can't make it down that stream.
Sure we can. It's sad or end up with your head on a pole.
Okay, Gabe.
All right. Now, cover me. Here, I shot you and Lily. Come fast.
All right.
The longest 10 minutes of my life. Lily lay there beside me. She was plenty scared, and she had every right to be. Those arrows were ugly, big and jagged and sharp.
Johnny, those arrows are getting closer.
Will you stop jiggling my arm?
I can't help it.
Look, how am I going to shoot if you jiggle my arm?
Suppose they get Gabe.
That'll be tough.
Yeah.
How come you worry about Gabe at a time like this?
Gabe, Schmabe, I'm worried about the gold.
Oh, you dear, sweet girl. Will you stop jiggling my arm?
So sorry.
3 minutes. 4. 5. I kept firing.
Have you any idea what you're shooting at?
Shut up, will you?
I mean it. You just pointed at the grass and go back.
Will you shut up?
I should have stood in Frisco.
You should have stood in Frisco.
Oh, don't talk. Just keep shooting.
How can I keep shooting when you keep jiggling my arm?
Nasty little thought crawled into my mind. Here I was up to my ankles in arrows, and there was Gabe with a boat, $500,000 and a downhill ride to freedom. Just suppose Lily must have gotten the same idea.
I'm gonna go help Gabe, Johnny. He may need help.
Stay here!
No! Goodbye, Johnny.
Why did I stay? I don't know. I lay there and kept shooting and kept thinking, oh, you sucker, they'll go off without you. But I stayed. Came 10 minutes, I heard it. Gabe signaled. The boat was already in the water, all loaded to go. Gabe faced the jungle, his automatic ready. Lily was crouching on the sand.
Good boy, Johnny. Thanks.
You all set?
Yeah. Just one thing I didn't count on.
What's that?
With all this gold in the boat, it'll only carry 2 people now.
Okay, Gabe, okay, I get it. Only one thing. Leave me your gun and ammo, will you? I want to die hard.
Wait a minute, Johnny, wait a minute. Maybe we ought to ask Lily who she thinks ought to stay. Maybe she'd rather I stay.
No, Gabe.
How about it, Lily? Who do you want to stay?
That's a tough question. I know. You both got guns. Why don't you fight a duel for it? It'll only take a second, and the winner gets me and the gold. The one who stays behind will be dead, so he won't have to be tortured by headhunters.
Oh, she's pretty cute, huh, Johnny?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Get in the boat, Johnny.
No, Gabe, look, go. You go. Look, now's your chance for a clean start.
Get in the boat, Johnny, or I'll kill you.
You sure this is how you want it, Gabe?
This is how I want it. Yeah, Yeah, that's it, Johnny. Now, you all set?
Yeah, Gabe. I'm all set.
I hope you can get us down, Johnny. It's an awful fast stream.
Don't you worry about it, Lily.
Why not?
Because it works this way. If either Johnny or me stays here, he gets tortured and then gets his head cut off. If you stay here, you can be a queen. You can live. They won't even touch you. You'll rule a whole tribe all by yourself.
Gabe! What are you talking about?
Stay away from the boat, Lily.
Oh, Gabe, let her get in, will you? I'll get out.
Sit down, Johnny, or I'll
come on!
Sit down, I said.
Gabe!
Johnny saved my life once. You. All you did was try to get him to kill me. Anyhow, I'm the only man who can get this boat down the rapids. And for that, I need Johnny.
All right. Go. Get out, both of you. I'll be a queen. And I'll love it. And it'll be worth millions. Millions!
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you'd say it, Lily. I knew you'd understand.
Escape is produced and directed by William N. Robeson, and tonight has presented Two Came Back by Jules Archer.
Adventure from Escape on Tuned to Yesterday from August 4th, 1950 on CBS. That same story would be used again on the Suspense series in June of 1960. And that brings to an end this hour of Adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.